Blog Talk Radio.
It's some scriptures out. It's some filters out. It's some thoughts. Damn and censor. It's some scriptures out. It's some filters.
The Naked Talk with Alex Okorochi.
It's another episode of the Naked Talk with Alex Okorochi. And yes, this is a Friday radio special. And of course, my name is Alex Okorochi, and I am broadcasting live from Lagos, Nigeria. How are you doing? Hey, people. Yes, I know. It's been a while, yes. I haven't had a show in, 3 weeks or so. It's been crazy hectic, you know, just running. I've been so busy going from location to hosting recitals, and it's been really crazy trying to get, you know, just, you know, getting all of us together to chat and, you know, interact. But, of course, you know how it is. I like to switch things up. You know how the Naked Talk is. It's unfiltered, very uncensored, uncut. And I just thought it would be nice to, you know, add an extra day to the week. And let's see, we could, you know, have, I mean, because I have a lineup of really interesting conversations with great, amazing people. Now, you're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorochi, and this is a one-stop place to get real, authentic conversations that will empower your mind. Yes, we keep it real. We tell like it is. It's all about straight talk, no bullshit. Yeah. And don't forget, I say, expression is a sign of strength, not weakness. It's okay for you to be who you really are and say what's on your mind, you know. Well, this is Alex Okorochi, and I'm so glad to be back here. It's nice to be talking. Now, wherever you're listening from, don't forget, get into the chat room. Make sure you sign into the chat room or follow the conversation on Twitter. Don't forget to hashtag the Naked Talk and Twitter at Alex Okorochi, and get the conversation going. Now, if you want to call into the show, you can dial, the number to dial is +1 215 383 3766. Call +1 215 383 3766, and we'll get to talk. I've got a pretty interesting guest lined up for the show, and this is somebody that I've been wanting to talk about, you know, talk to for quite a while now. And it's nice to finally sort of get him on the show. Now, what are we talking about this week? For the love of community, and, you know, it's with my special guest, Henry Balogun. First of all, you know, I'm going to save the introductions, but, you know, we're going to be having a really stripped down conversation about his passion for human management, public services, as well as his love for community. Now, let's talk about love for community. I'm someone who really, really is passionate about my community. You know, I like to get involved in. Now, I think that there are different groups of people. I know that there are some people who are more involved in humanitarian works and charity works, and, you know, in trying to develop their community. And there are people who actually invest their time in building human resources, you know, that also sort of help develop a community. And I think that I would probably belong to the, second part of, you know, second group, which is the people who develop human resources. Because I would say my life as an expressionist, first of all, I basically trying to promote expression as a tool to help develop thought leaders as well as promote mental growth, you know, and empower the minds. Yes. Okay. First of all, I think that it's really exciting to just be on the show and meet my guest. And my guest, like I said, someone I've been wanting to talk to for so long. So it's really nice, first of all, to have him on the show. His name is Henry Balogun. He's an advocate. He's also a social entrepreneur. He has a weekly show on radio. He hosts a weekly radio show, preparing for public office on Radio Continental. Radio Continental is a terrestrial radio station here in Lagos, Nigeria, 102.3. And, of course, he's a regular commentator on TV Continental. Now, it's not only that, you know, it's funny because his career has basically spanned across public service, the public sector, the private sector. And he, you know, has worked with the government as well. He used to be, but let me say that. Let me not bust it all because we're going to definitely be talking to my guest on the show. But just before we speak with him, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back.
You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. You're listening to The Naked Talk. It's so uncensored. She keeps it real. She keeps it straight. She tells it like it is, no matter who's afraid to bear.
You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. Okay, we're back. Alex, how we get it? It's pretty uncensored, very unfiltered. It's not scripted. We tell it like it is, and we're just going to have a fun conversation. So wherever you're listening from, whether it's Africa, you're in the U.S., you're in the U.K., you're in Lagos, Nigeria, just get on the internet, get on now, right now, and listen to the show. Don't forget, you can contribute to the show. You can either tweet hashtag The Naked Talk, tweet at Alex Okorji, or you can even tweet at Henry Balogun. That's our guest, his Twitter handle. Or you can get in the chat room. There's a live chat room right now, so just get in the chat room, and of course, let's chat. And of course, thoughts. And your contributions, of course, will be read on the show. So, yeah. Hello?
Hi, Henry.
Hello? Okay. You know, we're waiting to get Henry on the show. So, like I was saying, I think I just lost him there. But this is still The Naked Talk, and what are we talking about? We're going to be talking about quite a number of things. We're talking about like I said, we're talking about for the love of community. So,
hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Okay, I thought I lost you for a moment. I was wondering what was going on.
No, I'm
Hi.
Good. I'm here with you.
Okay, first of all, let me say this. It is nice. First of all, I'm very honored to have you here on the show. I've been itching to drag you onto this show and just basically strip your mind. It's your mind we're trying to strip, you know, strip your mind naked. And so, first of all, I think it's an honor, first of all, to have you right here on the Naked Talk with Alex. So how are you doing, Henry? How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the opportunity. It's great to be here with you. I'm doing great. All going well. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you very well. I was trying to introduce you, and it's funny because your portfolio is really like, you know, I don't even know where to start from. Where do I start to talk about Henry from? Is it the public servant? Is it the attorney? Is it the social entrepreneur? Where do I even start from? But you know what? That's me because I kind of have a little bit of inkling who Henry Balogun is. But for the sake of our listeners, if I were to ask you, who is Henry Balogun, how would you describe him?
Oh, interesting. Henry is just plain simple, as it says, an advocate and social entrepreneur. I think I'm a man of many parts. I play many roles, and that's what I've always done. Background, obviously, an attorney. That's been 29 years at the bar. I've practiced law. I've lived in three different continents. I've lived here in Nigeria, Africa. I've lived in Europe, in England, and in the USA. And also practiced law, social entrepreneurship, international missionary. Henry is that man of many parts, who plays different roles at different times. A very colorful career, really colorful career he has had. And that's it. I think as we go along, I'll be able to express more of what's inside this head and why I play so many different roles at different times.
Okay. And, you know, when you started saying all of those things, I'm like, oh, my God, okay, where do we even start to pin him down from? Do we start to pin the advocate down? Do we talk about the attorney? But there's something that I think that it might be pretty similar in terms of all of the things that you're doing, you know, and, you know, this is coming from me having to follow some of your work and some of the things that you've been doing and how they pretty much, everything seems to influence sort of, you know, build on human resource and build people. Now, let me ask you this. You've worked in the private sector and you've worked in the public sector. How do you run them side by side in terms of how where do you feel more comfortable or where have you felt more comfortable? Where has been more comfortable for you in terms of your career?
Well, put it this way, I think the public and the government sector. The private sector is more about dealing with customers, providing services, trying to satisfy customer needs. Basically, the idea there is you're investing mainly for purposes of profit. Everything you do is geared towards profitability of your investment, of the business you're running. In the case of the public sector, it's something totally different. You're with this institution of government, this institution that provides for the needs of a community, that drives public policy, that you're entrusted with. If it's a democratically elected government, you're entrusted with that role. The duty of running the affairs of it for the benefit not of customers but of citizens. This is where there's a difference. You're talking about providing infrastructure, you're talking about providing power, housing, security, basic amenities, water, electricity, energy. You're talking about managing resources. In both cases, yes, you're managing resources. Yes, there's some form of entrepreneurship because it's a matter of being able to manage human and material resources, financial management. But in the case of one, it's not driven by profit. It's driven not to make profit from the customer, but provide services for the community. Now, when done right, there's a sense of achievement, a sense of fulfillment. Now, the next level beyond that is when it's quasi non-profit. When it's non-government, it's not business, but you're doing things that you're passionate about for the development of a community, for the development of a people, for the development of a society, and you're not just driven by profit-making. You are driven by a sense of fulfillment. Your passion is contributing differently. You're identifying specific needs of the society, complex needs. In the case of our society, you're looking at things like unemployment, you're looking at things like lack of basic amenities, you're looking at poverty alleviation, and you're motivated by trying to bring innovative solutions to this complex the challenges that affect society. And I think this is where, now if you ask me what's exciting, it's that third part, where you're not driven just for the profitability. You're not just elected or appointed into office, but you're driven by a passion to make a difference, irrespective of profitability. But what social entrepreneurship does actually at the end of it is providing innovative solutions may also create some form of revenue. So you're not totally dependent on donations or contributions for the survival of the organization.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'm sure that our listeners are probably peaking, learning something really interesting from this conversation, because I'm even peaking something. Now, so let me put it this way. Now, we've established that obviously there are different things that attract you in terms of in the public sector and working in the private sector. But let's come down to our subject for the show, which is for the love of community. I'm going to ask you this. I know that you were once chief of staff to the deputy governor of Lagos State. I think that was 2003 to 2007, if I'm correct, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like you to take us through that experience, because you having to work in, be part of, you know, public service, and some of the things that you've mentioned right now, what really does the chief of staff do? I mean, like, I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably don't have an idea, but how does the chief of staff contribute to what happens in the community, or to, you know, in the overall picture of how government is being run, so to speak?
To the very large extent, let's even take a country like the United States. I'll give you a brief example.
Okay.
The fact is, that chief, and then we bring it down to my specific role, or the specific role of any chief of staff in a public institution, okay, to a governor, to a deputy governor, or to a president. Put it this way, you manage the president. You manage the governor, deputy governor. You are the gatekeeper, you are his chief advisor, you are his chief office, you are his chief headhunter. You advise him, you coordinate all the affairs. You coordinate who sees him, in other words, for you, you must understand administration, management, governance, politics. You are the all-rounder. You are the one-stop shop for the president or for your principal, so to speak. So you find out that, for example, in the United States, the chief of staff is always a very powerful person. In any state government, for any government, he's very influential. Because he decides. I mean, you're the head on top in terms of recruitment, in terms of selection. You know who is who. You go through the data in terms of where he goes, who sees him, in terms of what he speaks, where he speaks. So his speeches, you have to understand. You must know, you understand different topics, and you must go through his speeches. Nothing goes through the media on behalf of the president, on behalf of a governor, without coming through the eyes of the chief of staff. And for the chief of staff to also be effective, then he must also ensure that this gentleman is well managed. He's you're his chief executive officer of the principal's office, be it the governor, be it the president. You manage. You're his chief strategist when you're in that office. So when you say in what manner does a chief officer, well, excuse me, making sure that the man at the helm of affairs or your principal does his work diligently, effectively, productively, to ensure that there's performance and government is doing what he has, that means you have to be on top of the game. And that's how you contribute. You understand the state, you understand the government, you understand governance, you understand the needs of the people, you understand who is the right person, you understand who is going to be effective, you understand who has good character. You need to understand the five C's: competence, conviction, commitment, character, charisma. So it's an all-round job. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're not in charge of a specific office, but you manage. You're the president's president. You're the governor's governor. You're the deputy governor's governor. You're the CEO of the organization, more or less. You know, you're the one who can tell him five things that nobody else can tell him. You know?
I get that.
Yes, that's where you contribute to the development of state, but making sure things work right. The people who are doing meant to be doing things are doing things right. The officers in the president's office must function completely, totally, effectively, and efficiently.
Okay. Now let's talk about a particular thing that interests me. I mean, being that involved in the media, and it's nice when you can see people coming from other sectors that also have your
sorry, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I know that you have a radio show that is running on terrestrial radio, on Radio Continental, right?
Yes, I do, but preparing for public office.
Okay, so can you run us through, what is the show about? What is that show about, preparing for public service?
Okay, let's understand this. It stems from the main takeoff point is localized. It's very customized.
Okay.
It's looking at the nation and our country, Nigeria. It's looking at the situation we're talking about change. It's looking at the past 6 or up to 16 years, and we're looking at what governance has been, what government is, what the public sector is. We're looking at situations where people had dreams, aspirations, vision, but again, most of those things were not implemented, not executed, and we saw a situation where there had to be change because people were quite disgruntled with the immediate past administration. Now, the idea is this. People come into public office thinking this is the only institution that you can go into without any formal training. People may not understand, in most cases, what government is about, what governance is about. It might be okay to be a businessman in the private sector running a business for profit, but do you understand the difference when you come into government? Do you understand that in government you're dealing with two sets of people, the careerists who are the proper civil servants who come to the civil service cadre, and political appointees? And it's the meeting of minds between these two groups that will bring success. So we are telling the main issue here is trying to get people who keep on longing for, trying to aspire, the elected officers, the appointees, the political appointees, and grooming them for this office. What do you expect?
Okay.
It's like an induction program. What does it entail? What is government? What is governance? How is it different from the private sector? What in the private sector, you want to get a job, you go for an interview, there's the aptitude test, there are psychometric evaluation, disc profiling, and all types of things. Now, in the public sector, you're just appointed. Nobody leaks into many issues. How do you behave as a public servant? What drives you? There must be accountability. And going from Nigeria, we have seen that it is not just an issue of being good. It's not an issue of being competent. We're now talking about character. What drives you? What values drive you? I mean, you have Peter Drucker telling us that 90% of failure you find in office is as a result of moral failure, not lack of competence. So in most cases, you find out that, yes, competence will get you maybe immediate success. What you do, I mean, what you know, immediate success. What you do temporarily will give you some success. But very get permanent success because of the values that drive them. Our society today, we speak about corruption. Populism allows, gives that room if you're not careful. Now, your character. We now want people who have character because corruption itself, we've come to understand, is not the root. Corruption is a branch of something, and it comes from lack of character, lack of values.
This is
about. You know, we all say we want to wipe out corruption. Perhaps the fight should not be trying to wipe out corruption. Develop in character, the development of character. So there's honesty, there's integrity, there's accountability, all the things that create a good government or good governance. So that's what preparing for public office is all about. Accountability, political accountability, democratic accountability, financial accountability, information communication accountability. We're talking about knowing that going into public office as an executive, you must have certain things. You must understand how to lead change, how to lead people. You must understand how to drive results. You must understand building coalitions and communication. So that's what this is all about, trying to get proper people into government who understand where we are as a nation, where we intend to go as a nation, people who are not just, and we're not just looking for character. So there's got to be character, but character must blend with competence. And beyond competence, there must be commitment to the cause of the people and the commitment to the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Now, this is what I'm saying. You are a democratically elected government. You have political appointees as well as elected officers. We have done one part of this, of the people and by the people. But this is toxic. After people have done that, it now becomes government for the people. And the idea is now to prepare the people who are going into government to realize they are going there not for themselves, but for the people. It's not about your net worth. It's about your self-worth. It's the beginning of the new. It's the new, the change, the understanding of where things are now. Where are we going as a nation? How productive are you? It's not about yourself. It's about the people. You are now a representative. You are a public servant, not self-serving. So people are not going into government to serve themselves, but to serve the nation, to serve the people who have put them into office. That's the difference. That's what we're talking about when we speak about preparing for public office now. And, you know, it's the whole hog. How do you treat confidential official secrets in view of a new Freedom of Information Bill? Secrecy. How do you manage resources that you're responsible for? How do you manage people? How do you build coalitions with public servants? How do you measure performance? What's your objective? What's your purpose for going into government? Is it to serve the nation or to serve yourself? And that's what this is all about.
Okay, Henry, let me ask you this right before we take a quick commercial break. And I think it's, first of all, it's an amazing idea. It's an amazing platform because these are issues that need to be discussed and trashed and, like you said, you know, public servants need to be prepared for the offices they are vying for. And I see this to be something that's definitely going to be beneficial to those who have ambition to work in the public, in government. But let me ask you now this, as an average regular person, how does this benefit me? Like, how am I going to, what do I take away from listening or being part of that show? Because again, I'm thinking that government, you know, works both ways. You know, there's something that the government can do for the people, but also what do the people do? How do they contribute?
Things happen here.
Okay.
Things happen. Hello, are you there?
I'm here. Hello? I can hear you.
Two things.
I can hear you. I'm here.
First and foremost, for the average listener, you now understand this. I be part of this institution. You begin to understand how this institution works. What has happened over the years is, the public service is dirty, it's not good, it's not. And many people now understand it's not rocket science. This is government. The Constitution allows me to participate, and, you know, without all the issues of politics and God-brotherism, etc., but I have a right. I can be part of this. Two, it prepares people going in there to understand that, listen, there are different ways. There's accountability. There's understanding this institution. And it now it lets them also know it's not about your personal affluence. It's about you're going there to influence society, to influence change. Its takeaway here is people now know what they want from government. They understand what government is meant to provide for them. They understand what government and governance is all about. They understand the Constitution. They now have expectations from those whom they have elected into office. The people who are elected into office also know that, wow, we are dealing with a more educated society. They have expectations. We have to fulfill and live up to those promises that we made. We had a manifesto. They were voted for us. Now we must implement. Now we must execute. Now we must perform, because the people want results. We're moving away from the past 6 years where people thought you get into public office and you suffer what the Pope in his last speech went into to the papal see, where he spoke about the 15 diseases of leadership.
Okay.
Mainly where you do not know the objective of what you're meant to be doing. You become cold to the needs of the people who elected you, where you become double-minded, I mean, schizophrenic in your leadership. And it's one thing to the people, and it's one thing you're doing in office. And it was one of the the best speeches on leadership or best papers on leadership I've ever had delivered by anyone. I mean, a lot of wisdom in that part from the Pope there, from Pope Francis.
Okay, let me say this. Sorry to cut you, but let me just say this. Okay, because you've been talking about, you know, the expectations that people have. I know that you've lived in different countries. You've lived and worked in different countries. You know, you've lived in the U.S., you've lived in the U.K., you've worked there, and you're here. What are the expectations? Now, in comparison to this other, you know, places that you have lived and worked and the way Nigeria is, what are the expectations you have? What are the differences and what are the expectations you have in our country, in Nigeria, trying to meet up to the standard or to what's obtainable in all these other countries that you have lived and worked in?
No, I think first to where we are as a nation. We've had 16 years, and especially the past 6 years, pilgrimage, promises not met, a different kind of government entirely. Now we're looking at what are the exact specific expectations. First is this. We need to know that those whom we have elected to office understand why they have been elected into office. We need to see signs that of change. First being, with our initial expectations, the people that the new government, or shall I say in this case, specifically new president will surround himself with. Who are those being appointed into office as ministers and governors? Because it's not the intention. They sold us their intention in their manifesto, but it's the direction that will make us begin to understand their destination. So what we need to look at, the expectation here is going to be one where, let's see, the first 30 days, the type of people who they surround themselves with, how they intend to manage the resources of the nation. Is there going to be financial accountability? Are they going to communicate with us? We expect that now those people will have both character, that brings us back to the character and the competency. People who are not meant to be self-serving or self-seeking, but people who are oriented, who are national development oriented. So the expectations, I'm not going to go into specifics, we want power, we want infrastructure, I mean, because those will come with
we do want them.
Not going to put generation and distribution of electricity, it's not going to happen in one day. Oil prices are nearly 50% than what we had. There are financial issues. So in a way, this guy who made promises now have to sit down and tell us how they want to fulfill the promises from the financial perspective, because you can only provide what you can afford. There's no magic there. They can't go out and money's in there. So let us look at the low-hanging fruits. What can they do immediately? I mean, that's what they need to look at. What can we afford? What can we do in the best interest of the people of the team? And then give us a plan going forward. I am now saying, yes, the people must hold them accountable, leadership accountable. We are not going to. But I think first and foremost, what I'd like to see personally is the direction. To see who are the people who are going to manage the affairs of state. Once you see those people, you will know that is going to be there will be corruption or no corruption. You'll understand whether there is the same and it's going to be the same old story, same old. You'll understand where there's going to be, whether there's going to be performance and productivity. Then the next step is now that this government has surrounded itself with men of passion, men who have performed, they begin to look at the issues and take them one by one. What are the plans for electricity? What do we want to do with a nation that has lowest, now at our lowest ebb when it comes to provision of electricity? Security, major issue, it cannot be disconnected from corruption. But again, we have to look at security that the president has vowed. He has already moved the command center, given it an order that command center be moved to the main zone by itself. So we are watching all those developments. If we go into issues of, I expect there to be light in 120 days, come up with, there's not going to be light in 120 days. Or I expect corruption to be wiped out. No, you have to strengthen the institution, the judiciary, the EFCC. You have to move rather than 3, 4, 5. Hello? Hello?
I hear you.
You're not going to have 5 institutions functioning, they have to be empowered, and that's what I think we want to see. I would rather look at it from that perspective.
Okay. You know what? Let's take a quick commercial break. And we'll be back.
Have you pre-ordered your own specially autographed copy of The Naked Experience by Alex Okorojie? From timid girl to confident woman. It will make you laugh, it will make you cry, it will make you cuss, but most of all, it will be a great resource for you and your loved ones. Log on to www.alexokorojie.net to reserve your copy and win 2 VIP tickets to the book tour in MASH. This is still The Naked Talk with Alex Okorojie, and we've been talking with our special guest on the show, Mr. Henry Baloko, and he's basically been educating us on, public service and what it takes to have the right, to prepare the kind of that our country and the contributions that public servants need to be making in improving the community and the country, at large. And it's been a pretty interesting conversation. We're still talking for the love of community. And I kind of do have so much more to talk to him about. So don't go anywhere. Meanwhile, if you're just tuning into the show, don't forget that you can be part of the show. If you want to speak to me or you want to speak to Mr. Henry, you have questions, you want to ask the contributions you want to make, pick up your phone and call in. You can call in live, +1 215 383 3766. Call +1 215 383 3766. And of course, in a conversation. Or you can get on Twitter and hashtag the Naked Talk and tweet at Alex Okrochi or tweet at Henry Balogun. Or follow him, you know, that's his Twitter handle. Or you can get in the chat room, of course, and your contributions will be read on the show. Harry, hi, are you there? Are you still there?
I'm here, Alex.
Okay, well, just before we went, you know, on the commercial break, you talked quite a bit about, you know, the radio show, preparing for public office and just the things that, you know, the requirements, you know, that people basically have for of their leaders and the things that we need and what this new government really needs to be doing. Now, let me put you in a hot seat for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the word direction, and we've talked a bit about this new government. Do you feel like you have a little bit of insight as to the direction that this government is probably going to be moving in? Do you have any idea? Do you feel like you can presume, or, you know, what direction or how this government is really going to run? Run its government. Do you have any idea?
Well, I must say I do. Whether that idea or those ideas I may have at this stage may turn out to be the same thing. What we have is, we know why Nigerians voted for General Buhari. President Buhari. They believe that it was time for change. There was so much discontent. People were disgruntled. People had had enough of 6 years of the Jonathan administration. They believed that the country was not going in the right direction, and they wanted change. And, well, the APC, the opposition party, gave them a slogan that they could live with, and it was all about change. They looked at Buhari as the better alternative in terms of a man of character, a man of integrity, and they decided that this was the man they were going to vote for, or we were going to vote for. All said and done. Now, what do we have? We believe that he will live up to what is in the APC manifest. And people are already asking, you said you were going to provide jobs. Where are the jobs? You said there were going to be meals for children and schools. Where are the meals? When will all this start? Stipend, et cetera. I think the direction, as we've seen, 15 names sent to the approval for 15 special advisors granted. I think the direction here is one, the president wants us to understand that, yes, I was a military general, but now I understand democracy. What I'm going to do is run my government based on the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I'm not going to witch hunt. We are not going to do things that seemingly are just going to be out of the book or not comply with rule of law. I think this government is one saying there'll be rule of law. I think this government is telling us there'll be accountability. I think this government is saying I will fight security to the best, in the best way possible, make sure Nigerians are secure. I think the direction of this government is going to be the president will surround himself with men of integrity who can also perform. Those are my thoughts. That's the idea. That's the way I see him going. Again, we will know this very shortly. You can't fool Nigerians for very long.
Because I was going to say that when I was two. Okay. But I guess all of this exactly. Is basically based on his...
2 weeks' time, Alex, you and I see some names on that list, we know we ain't going nowhere. We see some names, we know we're going somewhere. You know, we can keep quiet about it. Once we know whether we're going anywhere.
Okay, now let's talk about something else. You know, I've been itching to talk about this. I know that you're the, you know, and this is, you know, you can't talk about community service and the love of community, talk about humanitarian work and building communities and getting people together and interaction. I know that you're the founder of Ibile Foundation. Ibile Foundation, am I right? Yes, Ibile Foundation.
Yes, Ibile.
Right?
Yes, Ibile Foundation.
Okay, fine. Ibile. I have to try and pronounce it correctly. Ibile.
Well, it's Ibile Foundation. Ibile.
Okay.
Yes, go on anyway.
Okay, so Ibile Foundation. Oh, I know my pronunciation is wrong for those listening. I'm sure he's going to pronounce it well. But I know it means something in Yoruba, the Yoruba word. But tell us, what is
simply a foundation about, you know, what is the foundation?
Okay, basically, I'll start off with the history. Ibile, ordinarily in Yoruba, will mean heritage. But for Lagos, it is specific.
Okay.
Ibile represents the five original or the five initial regions of Lagos. We're talking about Ikeja,
okay.
Badagry, Ikorodu, Lagos, and Akwe.
Mm.
That's where the name Ibile comes from. In other words, Ibile is really primarily about Lagos. It's about socioeconomic development of Lagos State. It's about looking into complex issues and providing solutions to those complex issues that affect us as a state or affect this community. But obviously, being the breadbasket, being the commercial nerve center, then that it goes into other areas. So it's about Lagos and beyond. And basically, that's it. It's geared now, this, again, understanding that most corporations owned by Lagos State, I mean, the investment company, you then have Ibile Property, Ibile Development. It's a name that resonates with Lagos. That's where that name came from. Now, the second phase of it is issues confronting Lagos.
Okay.
We're focused on four major areas: youth development, tourism, social development, education, and rural development.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay. So where we started off, I mean, what's happening right now in terms of the different projects? I mean, you did mention the youth, rural development, social development, youth development.
Over the past few years, we've done quite a lot of this. There's been different aspects of things. In terms of teachers, for example, we've helped develop between 2008 and 2010. We trained over 1,800 teachers in Lagos State. We realized that teachers did not understand what leadership was about, educational leadership, teaching the leader as a teacher, the role of a teacher as a leader in helping. So we partnered with a private organization and we provided training for teachers in Lagos State. We did a lot of training with the Lagos State Executive Council, and we've done things on that line. We also then realized that there's something about Lagos that, and I'm sure we'll get to that, so I won't jump the gun, but we also then looked at the issue of youth, and we tried to propose to the state government the Youth Economic and Empowerment Program, YEEP, which now is A4YE, Action for Youth Empowerment or Action for Youth Employment. And those are the areas. We're trying to begin to look at situations. We're trying to champion the cause for Yes Nigeria, which is Youth Employment Service Nigeria. Those are things we're working on. Johnny has been it's been very foundational. Right now, we're now moving into the stage of serious execution of projects which we have tried. We're trying to ensure that whether or not government is involved, we move on. As long as where approvals are what is needed, we can get the approvals. But we then want to move on with implementing, for example, our youth project, our tourism project. That's where we're at, Alex.
Because something you said just resonated. I mean, you mentioned quite a number of things. You talked about the YES project. I remember one of the senators, the newly elected senator, what's his name, Bembers, I mean, he was tweeting, one of those, his Twitter rants, he did mention something, you know, he said, there are 170 million people, you know, in this country, in Nigeria, and almost 100 million, you know, maybe the most important ministry isn't million, but the Ministry of Youth, you know, and how people can create the right kind of infrastructure and development, basically develop the youth of this country. Now I'm listening.
Well, Alex, it's interesting. I don't know. You know, the National Youth Service Corps today was set up by General Yakubu Gawan in 1973, 42 years exactly today. There was a radio show this morning. NYSC officers who came in, you know, What's been the achievement? Why was this set up? The unification of the country just post-war. They needed to bring the country together, and whether it's living to, you know, up to the current expectations of modern-day Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And I have to explain that. What we've done is similar to what Martin Luther King said, which is, look, the youth have arrived at a destination. We gave them a check. They presented the check, and it's now being returned to them saying insufficient funds. In other words, there are no jobs. Mm-hmm. And like the song by William McDowell, which is What Happened to Us? What happened to us as a nation? Where did we lose it? Where did we become a nation that we forgot to prepare for the future? And I try now to then understand, and I'm going somewhere with this, Alex. Youth, what do we mean when we say youth? Do we look at youth just in terms of age, just in terms of gender, just in terms of this group of people? No. Youth, and I explained today, National Youth Service Corps means the National Reengineering Service Corps, the National Reinvention Service Corps, the National Development Service Corps, the National Future Service Corps, the National Vision Service Corps, the National Strategy, because the future belongs to the youth. They own it. Mm. And when we begin to understand that we must develop the youth of our country if we're going to have a future, we must ensure that they come, and the promises we made to them, we don't relent on those promises. We cannot continue to have so many unemployed youth. We cannot continue to leave them without skills acquisition. And even when we give them skills acquisition, we do not give them the entrepreneurial or entrepreneurship training that is required for them to grow strong businesses. We do not begin to teach them in terms of government and governance. So that word youth, actually, I think it's been belittled, because it's just looking at a group of people, but not looking at what these people really represent. They represent everything our nation stands for in terms of the tomorrow of this country, the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
Oh wow! Okay, now let's talk about, because you know, we'll be talking about the election and the projects that are waiting to tape, and there's one in particular that kind of interests me. You know me, I like to talk about things that interest me, but there's one in particular that I have a bit of an idea, and you know, I'm hoping, like, for the sake of my listeners, that they, you know, get to learn a bit more about it. Let me ask you this. First of all, I consider myself to be a Lagosian. I've lived in Lagos all my life. I mean, I was raised here, you know, but I don't think I know anyone who loves Lagos more than me, or who loves Lagos like I do.
Well, I miss the Lagos.
You know what?
No, I said I'm Mr. Lagos. You're speaking to Mr. Lagos, the Lagos centric man.
Oh yeah, I'm speaking to Mr. Lagos. Yes, exactly. So that means that quite a number of us that love Lagos, and that brings me to a particular campaign that has been pretty much in my face and on my mind, and I'm sure that, you know, people probably start to hear about it soon. What is I Love Lagos about? Because I know that this, you created that, created it basically. But what is I Love Lagos? What is I Love Lagos? Because I keep hearing I Love Lagos. I saw something somewhere, some t-shirt somewhere, I Love Lagos. I read something somewhere, I Love. What is I Love Lagos? What is it about?
I
love Lagos, but I kind of want to know what.
I Love Lagos is really about the city of Lagos. It's about Africa's own bigger fall. It's about this vibrant mega city and confluence of people who are always on the go, you know, and with a can-do way of life. Lagos is an interesting city. So what we're bringing about is about the signs, the sounds. I mean, I wanted to do this in your language, Alex. We're trying to get the romantic part of Lagos. We want people to lie with Lagos. We want them to love Lagos. We want them to, you know, have intimacy and understand what Lagos has to offer. This attractive city. You know, we want them to get into bed with Lagos, if I may put it that way. But
yeah,
really,
that's the word I'm actually waiting for.
You know, it's one thing, and we want them to experience that ecstasy, to experience that feeling. Mm. We want them to experience the robust love that Lagos has to offer. And Lagos means a lot to a lot of people. It means different things. It means empowerment. It means entertainment. It means business. It means tourism. It's that confluence people. Lagos does something to you. People describe it as a melting pot. No, Lagos is not a melting pot. It's a salad bowl, because you can distinguish, you know how the salad bowl is. A melting pot means everything is just mushed and mushed in. But a salad bowl, you can recognize the tomatoes, you can recognize the lettuce, you can recognize the onions, the eggs, the shrimps, whatever is in there. And that's what Lagos is. It's that confluence. It's a lovely, superb salad, the most exciting salad bowl on the universe. I mean, it's fast and at the same time it's slow. It's rugged and at the same time it's peaceful. It's exciting and at the same time I would never use the word boring. It could be less exciting. It's unique and at the same time it's just everywhere. I call Lagos the hub with the hubbub. You know, at the point in time I know when arriving in London, BA will describe it as the hub without the hubbub. No, that's not Lagos. Lagos is the hub with the hubbub. It's always on the go. It's always on the move. It's everything that a traveler or resident would possibly be looking for. It's got a varied culture. It's got a culture, colorful lifestyle, tropical beaches. It's lively people, leisure spots, extreme activities. I mean, you know, continental and local and street cuisine. Where else would you find Suya, for goodness sake? Oh, God. I mean, Lagos appeals. Now, this is Alex's language. It appeals to all your senses. Yes, senses, you know. Lagos is full of sights, sounds, smells, taste, feelings. You know, you can hear Lagos moan, and you can hear Lagos groan. You know? And
groan.
You can hear Lagos cough, you understand. Sorry, Alex, but you've got
to go. Oh, my God, Harry. You know what's interesting about this? I'm sure that people who are listening, wherever they are listening right now, they want to come to Lagos, because you sold Lagos, like the way you just sold Lagos right now. If I was listening, I'm packing up my bags, I'm going to the airport, buying a ticket, and I want to come to Lagos and see this, you know, this city that you're describing with so much passion.
It's about celebrating. There's enough said about what might be wrong with this city. Enough said about the challenges in this city. But some of us, naturalized or by birth, we're Lagosians, and we want to celebrate what's right with Lagos. And there's so much right about the city. That's what I Love Lagos is about. That's what the campaign is about. That's what the proposed I Love Lagos tour is about. That's why we want to go around the 20 and the 30 local governments and 37 local council development areas. That's why we want to go on a tour saying, show us. That's why we want to launch the Why I Love Lagos campaign, the Lagos Love War. This is just something that, you know, I'm sorry, Alex, I'm passionate about Lagos. I mean, I've lived in other parts. I've lived in exciting places. I've lived in London. I've lived in Miami. What did you say?
No, I said go ahead. I mean, that's why you're on the Naked Talk. It's
Florida, and a point in time, I remember getting in when I moved from London to Florida, and someone said to me, how are you finding Florida? And I said, look, man, I've reached where I'm going to die. I mean, in terms of beautiful city, lovely city, but it's something. There's something different, you know. I could sing now. There is something that makes me, you know, there's just something about Lagos, and you just want to love the city. And I think for those of us who are here, we just must do the right thing. We just must try and love the city, irrespective of the challenges which we are not hiding from. I mean, where do you want to go? The beaches, the clubs? You know, you want to go to restaurants, you have everything here. And
cinema.
Every city in Nigeria, I dare say Africa, I dare say a greater part, everyone is in Lagos. This is the salad bowl of the universe. Come to Lagos, enjoy Lagos, sleep with Lagos, lie with Lagos, love Lagos, romance Lagos, be intimate with Lagos, produce children with Lagos. Come on, have this undying affair and guess what? Nobody will, you know, fight you for just loving Lagos. Your wife won't fight you because she wants to be, your husband won't fight you. This is one affair you can have that nobody is going to have a grouse with you on. That's what Lagos brings to you.
You know what's so funny? Because it kind of makes me, I mean, I'm just thinking about everything that you're saying. And sometimes when I travel, like sometimes, you know, you're stressed, you know, sometimes you look at the things that are not working and you're like, you know what, okay, I just want to get away. And the moment you get away, you can't wait to get back. Like, for some reason, you feel like, oh, God, I need to come back home. Like, that's home. And when you get into Lagos, the moment you start to hear even something as silly as,
Exactly. I mean, you don't like traffic. Oh, you don't like people? Oh, well, don't like people, you need to get out of the universe. That's, I mean, there's 6 billion people here. But, you know, you must like people. I mean, if you're in Lagos, there are loads of us here, you know, nearly 21 million. Oh, yeah, but it's not a problem. It's not a, it's a challenge. But we're looking for solutions. That's what, again, where Bile comes into it. You see, I mean, oh, yes, there's traffic. Oh, wow, I dare say, love Lagos, love life, love Lagos, love traffic. You know, okay, the roads will come. The roads will come. It will get better.
Let me do this. Because, sorry to cut you, but let me do this. I know that because when you kept saying stuff about Lagos being the salad bowl and everyone here is represented in Lagos, that's pretty much what some people think about another particular city. Like people would say, for example, New York. Someone would say that, you know, every tribe is represented in the city of New York. Do you feel like you can put Lagos and New York sites that are there any other cities that you can compare in terms of how people or its people represent the city or how they love or how they treat the city? Are there any other cities that you can compare in terms of tourism, in terms of people, in terms of the diversity, you know, in terms of culture, diversity in culture, people, representation, you know, are there, you know, cities that you can compare side by side with Lagos and say, okay, they're up to par or, you know, they're in company? I'm just asking.
You know, that's why Lagos is referred to as Africa's own Big Apple. You have cities like New York. I mean, New York is there, and oh yes, I mean, multicultural, diverse. Still, again, referred to as a salad, as a melting pot. But again, I don't think it's a melting pot. Or it's just want of a better word. Then you're looking at London. Although most people do not understand, it's very cosmopolitan. You see, that's why when they refer to Lagos, there are some cities, and you can look at it, the cosmopolitan cities, London, New York, I'm not sure, Tokyo, but cosmopolitan means that there's so many diverse cultures, so many different people, but they come into this place and they blend. Even in their own world, in their own sphere. So at times I keep on saying that Lagos is not just a mega city or metropolitan. Lagos is a cosmopolitan city. You see, now in comparing, oh yes, apart from the level of development, we cannot take away from that in terms of the rail, in terms of traveling, in terms of security. I mean, yes, those countries have their issues also, but. In terms of representation of people, I dare say that it will be difficult to find another Lagos anywhere. It's unique. At the same time, diverse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Okay, we seem to have a listener on the show. Okay. Well, if you're listening and you want to contribute to the show, I see a couple of people calling me. Don't forget to use your hand-raising effect, dial 1, so we know that you want to speak to either myself or my guests on the show, or if you want to contribute, just make sure you use your hand raising effect. Press 1 so we know that you want to talk, because I see a number of people dialed into the show. Okay, Henry, we're talking about the I Love Lagos campaign. Now, let me put it this way. How can people join this campaign? I mean, how can people get involved, people who love Lagos? And I'm sure that we're not the only ones who care about Lagos. A lot of people, that's why Lagos is growing in number. I mean, a few years ago, how many people were in Lagos? Now we're over 21 million, and more people are moving into Lagos and coming to Lagos. What do you think is the major cause or the major reason for the increase in population? In terms of the attraction of the city, why are people so attracted to Lagos? Lagos keeps increasing in terms of its population.
Well, again, it's a breadbasket of the nation. It's an exciting place to be. It's the most developed city, so to speak, or state in Nigeria. It's forever evolving. It's the the commercial nerve center. So people gravitate to Lagos because this, for many reasons, education, commercial, better life. They all want to come here. We're asking for national development now so that some people also have in their own various states, they're able to stay back there and they don't have to come into Lagos. But Lagos will still be that place. Basically, perhaps it was once the federal capital, but the continuous development, people have become used to the idea of, even across Africa, Lagos is the place to be. Lagos is the place to go. That will continue for a while. Lagos will continue to evolve, will continue to grow, and people will continue to, again, I repeat, gravitate towards this city. That's what's responsible. The roads are there. You have road network, rail network. I think commercial, I mean, in other states that you don't find jobs, you might find jobs in Lagos. So basically, you know, different people, different reasons, but if it's Nigeria, it's got to be Lagos.
Okay. So let's streamline it to this particular campaign, the I Love Lagos campaign. How can people get in? How can regular people get involved in terms of showing their love and their solidarity for the city of Lagos?
I think first there's the external and there's the internal. The external is that we begin generally as a people to appreciate our city. We begin to celebrate our city.
Okay.
We begin to do the right things in our city. We begin to behave more like, knowledgeable and educated citizens. We obey traffic laws. We obey environment laws. We keep our city tidy. We operate basically those things, you know. It's different behavior even in terms of being on our roads, the way we drive, etc. But internalizing and coming back to I Love Lagos, I'll say this, because it's going to be a massive campaign. Well, I'll ask you first and foremost, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, post your photographs. I mean, we want people to see things that are exciting, things that are stunning, things that are different, things that are humor, that bring humor, different things that are stupid, you know, things that may be foolish. And you just share them online and share them on facebook.com, Love Lagos. Tell us why you love Lagos. We want to do the I Love Lagos. Share on the wall. So if you just write and say, I love Lagos because, put it on a video, put it on a CD, and we want to grow this community. So it's like continue sharing with us why you love Lagos. What's so good about the city? Why are you here? I love Lagos. We went on a campaign once around the city of Lagos. This was a trial. I just went to a place where you had just laborers, and they were reluctant at first. Then we showed them there were no cameras. We just wanted to find out. And somebody said, I love Lagos because this is where I can bring my children and they'll find education. Another said, I love Lagos because this is where we will find a job, or we can find jobs, or I can find jobs. The most amazing for me was when we went to Oniru, and there was this lady on what I'll call a shack with a baby. I mean, this is someone you will look at, and for her, it was like, you feel sorry. But we spoke with her. At first, she was also reluctant. Then she started, and I'll say this in the language that she spoke, Pidgin English. And she said, make I tell you, Ogami, I love this Lagos. I love Lagos because when I come Lagos, you see that upstairs there, pointing at a building. Now, house girl are they do, which is a housemaid or a nanny. But see me now. I own my own shop. And I was looking at this shop on top of a gutter made of wood with a baby there. But you know what? It's not only Dangote that has made it in Lagos. That lady felt she had made it in Lagos. So we want people to share with us, how have you made it in Lagos? You don't have to be a billionaire to have made it in Lagos. You don't have to be a trillionaire. That lady believes that, look, I've come to Lagos and I've made it in Lagos. So this is what we're talking about, the love of this city, where you can come from anywhere in Nigeria, anywhere in the world, and you come and share your story of how I made it in Lagos. And you can share that. So it's first to grow the community. Then we begin to do positive things. We begin to look at areas of need. the collaboration with I Love Lagos and Ibile. We begin to look at where we can become people who help others in the society. We begin to look at how we can create employment. But the whole thing first is that love of Lagos, that love of that city, that exhilarating, that exuberant city. We just want to love this city called Lagos.
So if you're listening, first of all, to all, you know, to all our listeners, if you're listening, you can join the I Love Lagos campaign. And you don't necessarily need to be in Lagos to join that. I mean, even if you're a tourist, you're coming from some other country. I mean, there's so many things to love in Lagos. You know, we have great arts, entertainment, we've got great music, great tourist spots, restaurants, you know, hotel. Okay, I feel like I'm kind of like giving some kind of art, but really, I live in Lagos and I'm broadcasting, even though my station is in New York, I'm broadcasting live in Lagos, Nigeria. And so Lagos really is a beautiful place. But let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll definitely be back.
Are you a registered member of Alex's Blog Community, ABC? Then what are you waiting for? Join now to receive updates on all activities on Alexander and Her Naked Thoughts at www.alexokoroji.net to contribute, interact with other interesting ABC users, and win special giveaways.
QTAB Events, your one-stop shop for A-class events and entertainment, international artist management and promotion, logistics management, project management, and brand enhancement, with affiliates across South Africa, UK, Benin Republic, Togo, Ghana, Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso, and Cameroon. Wouldn't you rather let our dynamic team treat you like the respectable clients that you are, taking away the stress from your business. Taking away the stress from your business.
The Naked Talk with Alex Okoroji, and we've been having a pretty interesting conversation with my guest, my special guest on the show, Mr. Henry Balogun. And, you know, he's taking us through a very interesting conversation about what it takes to be in public service, what we expect from our leaders, and we've talked about the Ibile Foundation. We've also talked about the I Love Lagos campaign. We've talked about so many things, and he's described Lagos in probably the most colorful description I've ever heard about the city of Lagos. So first of all, wherever you're listening from, you know, don't forget, you can call into the show if you want to call into the show. Just don't forget to dial the number. The number to dial is +1 215 383 3766. You can dial +1 215 383 3766. And if you hit this live show, don't forget you can always come back and listen to of course, you've got to listen to the podcast. You can listen to the podcast. And, you know, let your friends, let people share. Don't forget to share this. Share this with people. There's so much wisdom on the show. And he talks a lot about the requirements in terms of public, you know, in terms of leadership in the public domain, in terms of the requirements for public servants and those who have public ambition.
the ambition to be involved in public service, as well as even just updating yourself and, you know, on Lagos as a city. I mean, there are a lot of people who live outside the country, Nigeria, who even live outside Africa, even Nigerians who live in diaspora in other countries, who really haven't, you know, I mean, we seem to basically, what is it called, promote the negativity or the challenges, for lack of a better word, the challenges that, you know, we have in the city as opposed to promoting the beauty of our city, Lagos. Harry, hi, are you still there?
Hi, how are you, Alex? Still here.
Okay,
with you.
we're back. Okay, we don't have so much time left. I mean, we have about, what, 12, 14 minutes, you know, more to go. But, I mean, we've had a pretty interesting conversation. And, you know, we're talking back to the I Love Lagos campaign. I mean, yeah. I know that there are a little bit of some sort of mini project. I've heard about a goal talk. I don't know if you want to talk about any of it, but I think I have an idea. I mean, quite a number of things that caught my attention, and from what I got, that basically we're trying to build a community of positive minded citizens, if I'm correct, right?
Yes, exactly. We're trying lovers of Lagos.
Lovers of Lagos, yes. Oh, you know, you're speaking my language. Lovers,
yes,
of Lagos.
We want people who can be so, naked with Lagos, you know.
I mean, naked, really.
We want people to have a naked, right, talk with Lagos, you know, a naked talk about Lagos.
Okay, this is crazy. Oh my God, I mean, I'm influencing some people. Like, I don't know.
I'm Goshen and I'm naked.
Okay, this is a naked talk. Are you allowed to? I mean, the show is unscripted, totally unscripted, uncut. Unfiltered, you're allowed to say whatever you want to say. This is the one place where you're allowed to be who you really are and say what's on your mind and say the way it is. And like he said, I mean, you know, they want, what Ibile Foundation wants is for lovers of Lagos to be naked with Lagos and have a romance with Lagos and love Lagos and strip Lagos. Anyway, it's been an interesting build intimacies, strong intimacies. I know. Okay, let's talk. I know that you also you seem to contribute. I'm going to ask you. I just want to throw
you
on
what's
the
different
board.
About Lagos, Alex, if I may cut in?
Okay.
You never get to the climax. You can't get to the climax. You can't get enough of it. No matter how much
you
get of it. You never get it.
Oh, my God. The expressionist is totally influencing people wrong. Oh, my God. You hear what he just said? The thing about Lagos is you never get to the climax. So you're just...
You never get
okay,
it.
Okay, is that a good thing?
Well, the more you get,
really,
the more you want. There's always
the more you
something
get, the more you
to explore. You never bother
so,
Lagos.
So they never get...
You never pick up
Lagos,
Lagos.
You never get tired of Lagos. Okay, I get you. I get that. So that could be actually be a good thing because Lagos can go as many rounds as, you know, as it wants.
Oh my goodness.
It can go as many rounds.
Say that.
You know, I mean, you can have fun. You can enjoy the city of Lagos. It never sleeps. The city that never sleeps,
yeah.
Right? So I kind of get that. I kind of get to where you're coming from.
That's it, you see. It just keeps going, you know, all day long, all night long. Lagos never stops. Lagos never sleeps. Lagos keeps watching over you. I mean, well, apart from obviously the man up there, the god. Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, Lagos is always awake, you know. Never gets tired.
Okay, let me ask you this. I know that, you know, recently you've been quite a bit in the media with, first of all, with your radio show on Radio Continental. And then, of course, you've been making quite a number of appearances, I mean, especially during the election season. You've been, like, you know, on TV. I know that you're a TV commentator. You've been giving your own thoughts, sharing your own thoughts, basically, on television. Now, let me ask you this, and I'm throwing this to you because, you know, I'm a media person and, the you know, the arts is that's my home. So I'm going to ask you this. Which do you prefer? Let's take a look. Which do you prefer, being on TV or being on radio?
Oh, Okay, now, that woke me up because I was looking for other ways to describe Lagos, and now, you know, I was busy thinking about how to explain that Lagos could be hard and strong and at the same time very soft-centered and tender. But now you've gotten into a major issue here. Alex, well, you
I
started.
I wanted to throw you under the bus. I was just going to... I thought it was right. This is all my fault.
Let's go to it. You know what, Alex? I must say this. I would give, for me, I really, really would say 50-50. I love the radio. I love this, which I'm doing with you, the ability to speak freely, you know, and just communicate with people. But there's something about TV. There's something about live. There's something about that also excites me. I think for the time being, I'll gravitate on a 50-50, and then maybe as time goes on, we'll see which one.
Are you sure you're not being a politician right now? Because you're being a politician right now, telling us 50-50. Okay, I know if you asked me the same thing, I probably say the same thing myself. Because, you know, I like being on TV and I like being on TV. But the most important part is that we get a medium to share our thoughts and that we're able to somehow help build thought leaders and, you know, provoke the mindful and educate people. And this has really been, you know, interesting. I learned a lot, you know, just listening to you talk about politics and, you know, preparing our leaders for office. I just think that I'm sure that people are going to definitely be getting a lot of wisdom listening to your show on the radio. Yeah. Okay.
And
let me ask you, just before we wrap. Yeah?
No, go on, Alex.
Okay, just before we wrap, I'm looking at the time. We don't have so much time left on the show. But just before we wrap the show, do you have any, are there any parting words, things you want to share with us about Lagos and, or HB, and, you know, what HB has in stock in terms of all the things that he's doing?
Well, I think that will be HB. We'll see as it evolves, all the different things we're looking at in terms of bringing them down to the social entrepreneurship, the development. But I'll say this as parting words, honestly. I wish we had Teddy Pendergrass, that song. It's so good loving Lagos, and Lagos will love you back. When
love
you want to talk about
50-50
love.
Not
60-60,
but 50-50 love.
50-50 love in Lagos, you know, that's what we want. Look, and there's a second part to the project, which you know about, son of Alex. It's about loving Lagos. But guess what? Lagos is also the city that loves
you
back.
Loves you too. Exactly. So, who doesn't want, I mean, think about it. Who doesn't want to love someone, you know, everyone wants, you know, you love someone, you want the person to love you right back, right?
Exactly.
So, you love
exactly.
Lagos.
Lagos
right
love.
Back.
Lagos will love you back like you've never been loved before. I tell you today. Alex, you've got me going down, okay. Right?
Well, that's why it's the Naked Talk with Alex Gurge. You can say anything you want to say. Feel free. So it's been an interesting show. Thank you so much for honoring us with your presence. It's been right here on the show. It's been an interesting conversation. And I hope you're going to come back some other time. You know, we think about something else. Maybe something, you know, something outside politics. And, or maybe just to find out how it's going with the public project. Because obviously there's quite a bit. I'm sure there's a lot in store. I've been able to get a whiff of what's happening. So I'm even excited myself because whether I like it or not, I'm definitely going to be part of this project, whether I like it or not. So I love Lagos. I love Lagos myself. So, I mean, why not?
People love Lagos. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
My solidarity and my love to Lagos. It's nice having you on the show. Do have a great and awesome evening. Okay, guys, if you're still listening to the show, it's still the Naked Talk with Alex Gurge. And it's been an interesting conversation. I had so much fun talking to Mr. Harry Baluku. First of all, oh, God, he's crazy. Like, Jesus, I'm starting to think I'm having, like, some bad influence on people, on my guests. You know, like everybody gets on the show and they're just so free and they're just having so much fun. And that's really what expression is about. You know, you want to be somewhere where you feel you can say, communicate the things you need to say. When you need to tell the half truth, you can tell the half truth. When you need to joke about something or laugh about something, you don't feel like you need to pretend or you need to sugarcoat the situation or present what is not.
So I was very interested, first of all, you know, digging into his wealth of knowledge and having him pass so much wisdom, as well as sharing his thoughts and, of course, talking to us about filial legacy. And, I'm just going to say this to everybody, whether you live in New York or and wherever the Nigerians are in diaspora, even if you're a foreigner, you come into Africa, Lagos, like he said, is a fruit salad, it's a bowl of salad. And that's true, you know, because we have pretty exciting personalities, we've got great entertainment, we've got fantastic artists, we have some of the biggest artists in Africa here in Nigeria, actors, musicians, writers, broadcasters, we've got, you know, business. I mean, for God's sake, we have some of Times Magazine has some of our, you know, our own people making it to the Times, you know, to Forbes and all of that. So we're definitely, representing. We've got interesting minds, intellectuals, thought leaders, people doing different things every day to build their community and contribute to social welfare and the development of the community. And which is, you know, I mean, I belong to a social pressure group. For New Lagos, and for New Lagos also, you know, great minds, people who are interested in developing the community and, first of all, contributing, standing up, you know, using their social responsibility, becoming socially responsible to the society. It's been an amazing show. I don't even want it to end. Oh, my God. It's been an amazing Friday radio special. I know we usually do this every Wednesday, and we're going to be making it really regular, Friday, Wednesday. I have so much more lined up, or I definitely do have, you know, a secret I'm probably going to announce in the next show. You know, remember Jerome Trepper, the U.S. Citizens Advocate. We're going to be having a Jerome Trepper special. We'll talk about that some other time. But, hey, have you been to my blog recently? Don't forget to stop by at www.alexgurgi.net. Yes, I'm the expressionist, and I tell it like it is. I say what's on my mind. I don't care whose ox is gored. I just, you know, the whole purpose is basically this: to empower the mind. You know, let people be aware. Preach presence of mind. It's not like when presence in your mind, and when you have the freedom to say what you have to say, to get it out there without feeling like, you know, you have to be or represent something that you're not. You know. It's just, you know, feeling free. There's no freedom like being able to express what you're thinking and, you know, what's on your mind. So that's the whole idea. So don't forget, check out my blog. Follow up if you've missed anything. Catch up. Do you have my mobile app? Download my Android mobile app. Just go to the Google Play Store. Look, search for Alex Okorojie and download. You can easily access my blog, the radio show, my store, my online store. And, of course, you can, if you want talk therapy, you can also access you can get my booking page on, yes, Ask Alex at askalex.setmore.com. I mean, all of this you can just access from the mobile app. You can carry me wherever you're going. Take me with you. So make sure you download my mobile app at the Google Play Store. Visit my, what's it called, my online store. Don't forget to check out my online store. I got my audio podcast album. I got my book, which is coming pretty soon. What else? Let's see. Yes, you can buy talk therapy time. If you want to chat privately with me one-on-one, and we can get to talk about some of the things that you, and like I said, it's okay to talk. It's okay to talk, you know. Don't ever feel like you need to stifle your voice. You need to hold back your voice. Just let it be. Let it go. Just let it go. Okay. What else? What have I been up to? Oh, the summer. Yes, the Naked Challenge. The Naked Challenge is coming up. I'm going to be hosting a video conference, a webinar, a web seminar, an online video conference on July 11th. It's a Saturday, July 11th. I'm going to be hosting the Naked Challenge 101, from idealist to realist, and I'm going to be telling you how to get off the mental challenge and holding yourself back. I mean, a lot of people do that. I used to be the typical idealist, but I've gone from dreaming, having this perfect ideas on how to transform the ideas in my mind to reality. And we can talk about that. And definitely, you can follow up on the progress so far on my blog. You can go to my blog, www.alexokorojie.net, and register there. Make sure you attend the seminar. As always, don't forget, I love you. You're super, 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 super. Let's do this again next week, Wednesday. Talk Wednesday, our regular Talk Wednesday. And I've got great guests on the show.
great, amazing show. Don't forget, this is the one place where you can get real, authentic conversation. If you know anyone who's missed the show, don't forget to come back and get back here on the channel, blogtalkradio.com/naked talk, or they can go to my site, my official site or my blog. Or, yeah, so just get on the app and they can listen to the show that they missed. Have a great, amazing, enjoy the rest of your day. I love you. Mwah. Bye.
It's unscripted, how? It's unfiltered, how? It's uncaught, damn uncensored. It's unscripted, how? It's unfiltered, how? It's uncaught, damn uncensored. It's unscripted.
Listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorochi.